The quest for certainty blocks the search for meaning. Uncertainty is the very condition that impels mankind to unfold his powers. And so when you know who you are and what you're capable of, you create certainty in yourself to combat the uncertainty in the outside world.
What if you could build a business in the modern world as big or as small as you want without having to compromise the things that were the most important to you in the very beginning? This is the Wealthy Consultant Talks podcast with Taylor Welch and Mike Walker, as they share with you today their learning lessons from stories in their experiences over the past 10 to 15 years and share with you right here, right now. Let's get into it.
Let's talk about uncertainty for a minute. If you are a person of achievement or a person of progress, then your life is going to be dominated by a certainty called uncertainty. You like how I did that?
Pretty good.
That's my version. My version of like the only, what is it? The only thing that doesn't change is change. I don't know. Somebody said that. We're in an era of intense uncertainty, and to be honest, maybe a little bit of instability as a species. When I am talking about us as a species, we're talking about like the civilization's ability to advance. And throughout history, when you look at different periods and points of history, there have been these inflection points where time speeds up. And occasionally I'll post about this and people are like, what the hell are you talking about? But there are timelines and time speeds up and it can speed up and it can slow down. And there are periods of time where nothing seems to happen. And then there are periods of time where everything seems to happen. And right now we're in one of those periods where it seems like everything is happening at the same time. Do you feel this or is it just me? Like, there is so much going on a daily basis right now that it's impossible to even keep up with it. It's like, are we in a recession? Are we not? Is the economy good? Is the economy bad? Who's president? Who's not president? What's going on? And we're in an inflection point as a species all across the world. And what we're seeing is we're seeing people's inability to deal with uncertainty. Because when things were slow, they felt good. And when things were certain, they felt good. But when things become tedious or when things become like, I'm not sure what's going to happen, they begin to lock up and retreat and operate from a position of fear. And as such, we have these yo-yo effects that create these ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs. So I'm going to read through some lessons about uncertainty. And if you're, I promise you this, if you're in a season where you have a lot that's just kind of hanging in the balance and you're not exactly sure what's going on or what's going to happen, this session could actually equip you to deal with that uncertainty in a productive way rather than letting that uncertainty hurt you or slow you down. And so that's my promise for you today is at the end of this session, my hope is that you do not crave certainty anymore, but rather you crave progress, which typically comes from uncertainty. So let's go through this. First and foremost, we're talking about change. This is a quote from a person named Price. He says, sometimes you can see it coming. Other times you just get a feeling inside, the vague sense that something big, something different is coming down. But now and then it takes you completely by surprise. Regardless of how it approaches, though, change usually comes with a traveling companion. And the companion is uncertainty. The defining feature of uncertainty is its very unmanageability. What is this? How many of you on this call would say, I'm a little bit of a control freak or a control connoisseur?
That's a nice way of saying it.
how many of you have a preference for control?
Yeah. I'll give you that one.
Me, for sure.
Yeah.
Me, like hardcore.
Yeah.
And intelligent people usually are, because let's be honest, if you've done the work and you're like intelligent, you're like, well, I trust myself more than I trust that crazy person over there. And so I'm going to have a preference for control. Mm-hmm. Control is really the ability to manage yourself and manage your circumstances. But here's what he's saying. A defining feature of uncertainty is you cannot manage it. You cannot control it. Seeking to control it is like trying to rearrange fog. And now everyone should get that mental image of you being outside trying to rearrange fog. It's impossible. You're never going to be able to do it. What is manageable and what you should focus on is managing yourself. That is where your power lies, because that is what you're actually free to control. So here's the first principle. The first principle is that managing uncertainty comes from managing your own self. You can't manage it directly. So if you're in that limbo season, if you're in that limbo season where you're just like, you're not really sure what's exactly going to happen, the good news is that you can build certainty internally by managing yourself. How do we do that? How do we manage ourselves? We can manage our responses to things. We can manage our thoughts to things. We can manage the time we wake up and go to sleep, what we eat, what we don't eat. And I was on a call with one of my mindset performance coaches a couple of weeks ago. And just so you guys know, when I'm talking about control tendencies, I'm the biggest control freak of them all, Like I don't do well when I can't control. I do actually embarrassingly bad when I have things that are outside of my control, because I think that I'm better than most people, because sometimes I'm smarter than most people. And so I don't want other people affecting. Surely I'm not the only one. You guys don't like listen to that and be like, wow, what an arrogant piece of shit. No, if you wake up early and read and you do the work, like, you are doing it so that you can control your direction. That's what you're doing it for.
100%.
So it's not a bad thing. It's just like, I want to be in charge. The world is safer if I'm in charge. That's kind of like, I think about it. Like, it's better for everyone if you just let me make the decision. Mike's laughing because he's like, yeah, that's about on brand. That sounds about right.
We've all got our things, man.
But here's the thing. When you take me and you drop me into 2022, I had no control for the first time in 10 years. And in 2023, it didn't exactly get – there's – whether you believe in God or the universe or whatever, there's a force somewhere that is saying, all right, TW, it's time for you to learn how to manage the lack of control. And where does that start? It starts with you. So anyways, I was on a call with my performance coach, and there are some things I can't control, and they're just out there. Who knows what's going to happen? And I'm like, you know, I want them to work out well, but I can't force them to work out well. I can't control them directly. And she's like, well, why don't you just reverse the worst case scenario thinking? Because I have sometimes the control freaks, you get into worst case scenario thinking. Like, true? Anybody guilty as charged with me? We're like, if I can't control it, I at least need to know what the worst possible outcome is so I can survive it. And we just instantly pivot from like, I'm going to control this to like, oh, freaking nuclear chaos. I'm just going to figure out where the bunker needs to be. And we pendulum swing. Y'all real quiet, so I know this is hitting you. stop crying and lock back in. So she's like, you know, it's not healthy for you to go to worst case scenario thinking all the time. And I said, well, how do you stop worst case thinking? And she said, why don't you substitute it out with most likely scenario? Rather than worst case scenario, what's the most likely scenario? Because our brains, you have to replace something bad with something good. You can't just erase something bad. And I said, the problem with this is that when I'm, you know, taking a walk, or I'm at the gym, and it feels like I'm just burying my head in the sand and I'm not actually thinking through everything. And she said, the problem is one of neurochemistry. Your brain has created loops that feel really good for you to go down. And so your brain feels very comfortable going through worst case scenario because it feels like it's protecting you. Can I just stay here for a second, or do you want me to move on to the next thing? Because there's obviously a lot coming out of this section.
Yeah.
I don't want to run out of time, but if it's helpful, we'll sit here for a second.
Do it, man. Do it.
Okay. So I'll stay here for just a second because this is so powerful. What she taught me is there is a place where your brain can enjoy self-destructive behaviors because you've taught it to do that. Our brains are the most sophisticated pattern recognition machines to have ever existed. And so what she was telling me is she said, you have loops in your brain. And what's a loop? This is a loop is when you have your brain in the nature of efficiency, your brain has cut out steps to save glucose. I mean, to save the resources. And so if you've ever been stuck in traffic, yeah, there's multiple ways you can handle being stuck in traffic. And there's like three or four categories of people on the call. There's the type of person who's stuck in traffic. And the thing that they think is, I told my wife I would be home on time. Now I'm not. She's going to think I'm a liar. I was late last week. And F everyone else. I've got to get out of this traffic and get home. And they're the people that are honking their horns and acting like literally crazy people trying to drive around. And then there's the types of people who are like, well, there's nothing I can do about it. I might as well turn on a podcast and just enjoy the extra time. What the difference in these two types of people is actually the loops that their brains go through when they're introduced with the stimuli. So here's how looping works. There's the actual circumstance. It's number one. I was write this one down for you guys so you can actually work on this later. Circumstance is the first thing. The second thing is the belief. The third is, or the next one is the meaning. And then the fourth is the response. Circumstance, belief, meaning, response. Everybody got it? So here's looping. I'm stuck in traffic because there's a car wreck. That's the circumstance. The belief is I'm going to miss my commitment that I made. The meaning is they're going to think that I'm lying because I missed last week's commitment. And the response is, how do I crush everyone in my path to get home sooner? Notice how this happens. I'm giving you a crazy example so you can grab it. But the circumstance induces a belief, which has a meaning attached to it, which has a response. Versus the circumstance, I'm in traffic. The belief is, well, I'll get home when I get home. There's nothing I can do about it. The meaning is, maybe this happened for me to get some extra time listening to an audiobook. And therefore the response is, I'm just going to sit in traffic and enjoy the time. Does this make sense? At a macro level, does this make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Looping is when your brain goes from circumstance to response and it cuts out the middle two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so looping is very dangerous because looping is when your brain goes, I've been here before. I was in traffic. Here's how we respond to this. And you lose your objective control over the belief and the meaning because your brain's already mapped it in your head. Can we see how this is a problem?
Yeah.
But can we also see how this is an opportunity? Let's bring it closer to home. Most of the time, we're not dealing with looping issues in traffic. What most of the time is the circumstance, I miss my sales targets. The belief is the last time I missed sales targets, I had to sell the house. And the meaning is I am poor. And now the reaction is I miss my sales targets and I just turn off the business. Okay. If you guys want to bring it in a little bit closer. So looping is when your brain's cutting out the middle two. And so this doctor who's my coach was saying, you have to rewrite the loops when something happens to you. Because what your brain has done is it has had an experience. There was a negative circumstance. Then what happened was worst case scenario. And then the meaning attached to that was, I am a failure. And then the response to that was like, I don't want anybody to know who I am. And she's like, you've got loops where your brain is skipping the second and third step. And so now everything, something bad happens to you. Your response is, what's the worst case scenario this time? And how do I prepare for it? I was like, it's hard because I'm having to rewrite this and I feel like I'm sticking my head into the sand. And she said, it will feel physically painful, like you are jumping off a bridge. It will feel awful until the third, fourth, fifth time. And then you start relooping and remapping those loops. And so what we have to do as thinkers, as leaders, is we actually have to stifle the natural instinct responses that we have when something negative occurs. And we have to physically go in and attach the belief and the meaning. You have to bring utility to it. So you bring it back to the business. We missed our sales targets. The belief is there must have been something we could have improved. The meaning is this is education for me. This is a great tuition for me if I can implement it. And the response is you document a postmortem or you document your lessons. If you do this enough times, all of a sudden, whenever something negative happens to you, you loop positively. So it's an upward loop. Something negative happens, your brain automatically goes, this is positive. This is for my benefit. There's education here. What's the lesson? And the instant response is, what do I take away from this to improve it in the future? Does this make sense?
Yeah. Solid stuff, man.
That was a long tangent. We're talking about uncertainty, but I feel like it was necessary to get us to the next level. If you look into we'll keep going through this book. There's an Italian proverb somewhere that I think applies. We don't know who said this, but the quote is, "Not everything that is bad has come to hurt us."
Yeah,
and this plays in perfectly with my worst case scenario thinking. Not everything that is bad has come to hurt us. It's a lesson in learning how to remap and to re-loop. All right, let's keep going. People with low tolerance for ambiguity. What's ambiguity? It's uncertainty. Things are a little hazy, a little fuzzy. Typically, by the way, if you're planning out your future, the longer it is away, the more ambiguous it's going to be. The closer up it is, the more clarity you'll have around it. So people with low tolerance for ambiguity like their world to be systematic, orderly, and predictable. Give them a map, a schedule, and a plan. The more structure, the better. The fuzzier the situation, that is, the more they have to deal with unknowns and a lack of clarity, the more bothersome it becomes. When forced to wait for answers, wondering how things will turn out, the vagueness gnaws at them and they get itchy to bring about resolution. Closure becomes the top priority. The problem is this. In attempting to drive out ambiguity and improve their psychological comfort level, they often complicate matters and compromise their position. Patience usually produces better options. Lesson number two is comfort living with the open loop. Comfort living with the open loop. The open loop is when you have no closure. Can you develop comfort living with the open loop? Because patience typically is going to produce your most fortified position. Okay, we'll keep going because now I'm catching up for time because of the tangent. Life does not give us reliable currency regarding the certainty of our future. We cruise along, nursing a broad range of expectations, feeling pretty wealthy with predictability. What a good phrase. Wealthy with predictability. This is a nod to the economic theory that all certainty is really the illusion of predictability. So when you look in a good market, we have no more certainty in a good economic situation than we do in a bad economic situation. What we have is a differential in the illusion of control or predictability. So it's all an illusion. In 2008, 2009, the illusion of stability went crashing down and therefore the markets crashed with it. As the illusion of control and predictability went back up, the markets rebounded. As the illusion of control goes back down, the markets crash again. Nothing has changed except for the human brain's ability to predict the future. And when we cannot predict the future, we sell.
Yep.
Make sense? So he's saying, we cruise along nursing a broad range of expectations, feeling pretty wealthy with predictability, while most of the so-called certainty that we carry around is actually phony. Frankly, we're pretty much always broke when it comes to knowing for sure what life is going to bring our way. The future is always a crapshoot. It's like an old mergers and acquisitions specialist. Let's just accept it. And let's open ourselves up to this uncertainty as it blankets our lives. He's teaching you to get comfortable with the idea that you can't predict it. And the only certainty you have in your life is the ability to adapt to whatever comes your way. the more closed-fisted you become on this has to happen this way because I planned for it to happen this way, the more vulnerable you become to the fragility of everyday life. So it's actually not a great thing for you to be so rigid and regimented. This is like speaking to myself as well, because I'm like the morning formula dude and the maps dude. It's like everything has a perfect place. But inevitably, there's a season that comes along where every bit of stability you had is threatened, and you have to have the ability to adapt with agility to that changing of the pace, right? How do you become good at adapting? You are tested. How do you develop faith? You use it. How do you develop musculature? You put weights on top of you and you have to push against it. How do you develop patience? You get stuck in crappy situations that you can't speed up. This is the way of life. So we're like so busy trying to get through it, when the reality is like we're in a once in a lifetime, most of the time we're in a once of a lifetime opportunity to develop the necessary patience, wisdom, resilience, agility, certainty. Why am I saying certainty when talking about uncertainty? Because you can combat external uncertainty with internal certainty in what you're able to do for yourself. The little things. Make sense?
Fire.
Eric Fromm says, the quest for certainty, he's talking about external, the quest for certainty blocks the search for meaning. Uncertainty is the very condition that impels mankind to unfold his powers. It's pretty deep.
Yeah.
People often try to cope with uncertainty by retreating. Confronted with a lot of unknowns, they shrink away from unpredictability, seeking the comfort and the perceived safety of their old habits. Is going backwards. How many of you have been like, I'm going to this is the perfect. The end of 2022, everyone's like, I'm going to tackle 2023. It's going to be the best year ever. Oh my God. We will kill uncertainty, and like resistance will crumble before us. And then 2 months in, it's too hard. And they've retreated back to what they were used to in 2022. It's because it feels like you're dying. Taking new ground feels like you're dying. You're remapping everything. It's counter instinct. It's all counter. So you're saying people will try to cope with uncertainty by retreating. Confronted with a lot of unknowns, they shrink away from unpredictability, seeking the comfort and perceived safety of their old habits. They want to feel more grounded, better stabilized. So they move toward the familiar in their pursuit of equilibrium. This is moving in the wrong direction. This is a guy who's integrated thousands of different companies. He's a turnaround consultant. So he goes into distressed businesses and turns them around. And what he's saying is that from his experience, what he sees is when people are threatened, they tend to retreat back to what was safe a year ago. And it's actually taking them in the opposite direction of safety. The safest path is typically forward and through, not backwards. When you're in this position, just remember the big controllable factor is you. Focus there. You're the person in charge of your attitude, your thinking, your behavior. That's all on you. And you're the one that must maneuver yourself through uncertainty. You can decide to curl up in a fetal position and cry. You could choose to be angry and go throw rocks at cars. You're free to resign from reality and lose yourself and wishful thinking. You can drive yourself crazy trying to read the end of this uncertainty that's yet to be written. Or another option, you can stay fully present in the moment, explore the mystery of this nowness, and live into the uncertainty with everything you've got. So another thing I want you to ponder and write down is that the power is in presence, nowness. That's where the power is. The power is not in yesterday, because yesterday's gone. You can never go back. You can't get it back. Doesn't matter what you do. You'll never be able to get it back. The power is not in tomorrow, because it isn't here yet. And there's nothing that you can do to change tomorrow without first walking through the door of now. So the power is in nowness. It's right here, right now. A lot of times if you track your anxiety, for the A-type personalities who are listening to this, it will be interesting to track, where does your anxiety come from? Anxiety always comes from the future. It never comes from right now.
Yeah.
Regret always comes from the past. It never comes from right now. So you've got anxiety in the future, you've got regret in the past, but right now you have power. Because whatever you decide to do right now will be done. And so it's a waste of time trying to live in the past or into the future. The power is in presence. Alice Walker says the most common way people give up their power is by thinking that they don't have any. How many of you have ever felt stuck? I'll raise my hand, honest. I felt stuck many times. But it's always a trick. You're never stuck. If you wanted to right now, you could open your mouth and you could breathe. You could say something inappropriate. You could type something in the chat. You can do whatever you choose to do. So you have to remember that the feeling of powerlessness always is coming, from a disconnection to the present moment. Powerlessness always comes from the disconnection to the present moment. All right. Here's a really interesting piece. The more self-absorbed you become, we're talking about not quite narcissism, but all you think about is your damn self. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like most of the internet right now. The more self-absorbed you become, the more likely it is that uncertainty will prey on you. Sure, it makes sense to look out for old number one, but when you're consumed with your own wants and needs and stuff, you lose touch with other people who are involved in the uncertainty equation. This kind of self-centeredness is the opposite of what right now is calling for. Try to redirect your attention. Somebody say redirect in the chat, hit enter. Redirect. So you're not creating attention. Your attention is already being given. And granted, it's just being given to yourself. Redirecting is easy. Try to redirect your attention, get outside of yourself, and be mindful of other people's needs. Here's the dichotomy for you. If you feel poor, pay for someone else's lunch. If you feel unseen, call someone and encourage them. If you feel not valuable, send somebody a text to show them that they're valuable. This is the paradox of the universe, is that to fix ourselves, we must first give to other people. And so, you know, I've hired maybe 300, 400, 500 salespeople. I've trained 40,000 sales professionals. And it doesn't matter whether somebody is like Christian, Buddhist, atheist, a monk, whoever they are. Not a single person has ever given money and not gotten power from the transaction. Because generosity, whether you're a good person or a bad person, generosity is a weapon. So when people were in a rut, I would literally tell them, like, go downtown and serve some meals to somebody who cannot afford to buy their own food. Give money to an anti-human trafficking organization. Spontaneously go to dinner and pay for someone without them knowing. And every single time the report back was basically like, that fixed it. Powerlessness comes from self-centeredness, where you cannot get out of yourself. The next step is to fight the impulse to sideline yourself, to care less, or to be non-giving. Withholding yourself will most likely only weaken your position. If you're wanting to dilute the uncertainty, think in terms of what you might contribute to other people or to the situation in general. Write this one down and underline it and circle it, then highlight it later, then memorize it, then pull it out and tape it to your car steering wheel. Spend freely of yourself. Spend freely of yourself. Wow, how countercultural is this to what you're seeing by all the gurus who are like, say no every time somebody asks you to do anything. Always say no. Protect your calendar. Protect you at all costs. Well, some of us are drowning because all we do is say no, and there's an energy transfer here happening. There's an energy transfer happening. Spend freely of yourself. Give more than would be expected. Produce evidence. Produce evidence that you are someone who makes a valuable difference. This is if you're in a rut. This is if you feel stuck. This is if you feel powerlessness. Produce some evidence that you are someone who makes a valuable difference. Spend freely of yourself. Give more than would be expected. Produce evidence that you're someone who makes a valuable difference. Isn't this incredible?
Love it.
This is just the simple idea that if you want some momentum in your life, create momentum for somebody else. Uncertainty feeds on idleness and inertia. So it pays to be productive, to invest yourself fully into the situation, to be passionate with generosity. That is going to serve you far better than obsessing about what is missing or what seems hard or unfair. I'm not the only one with this. Is just like, this stuff like just literally confronts me and is like, stop being an idiot. It's not all about you. Your life isn't that hard. Go do your damn job.
No. It's easy to forget, man. We live in a culture where it's like self-serving, selfie, right? The whole thing. It's all about internal.
I'm just saying that line right there. Uncertainty feeds on idleness and inertia. It pays to be productive, to invest yourself fully in the situation, to be passionate with generosity. That will serve you far better than obsessing about what's missing and what seems hard or unfair. That's another one that can change. All right, contribution. We're almost done. Hope you guys have had a good time today. If nothing else, then I've just basically challenged myself to stop being a loser from reading this call. Contribution. It is an enabling approach for dealing with uncertainty. So here's one of the things that you could write down too as a principle. After the presence, the power is in the presence. Is contribution breaks the spell. So if you're stuck in a place where you feel like you can't move forward, your brain is not working the right way, you feel like there's too many loose ends, you cannot function, contribution breaks the spell. Contribution actually gets your mind off of your own issues and problems and moves you forward. Contribution is an enabling approach for dealing with uncertainty. And frankly, when you contribute to other people, you are the main beneficiary. Yeah. It will validate you and strengthen your sense of self. Remember the earlier line we're talking about producing evidence. Produce evidence that you are someone who makes a valuable difference. This is a tie-in to that. You're the beneficiary when you contribute to other people because it validates you and it strengthens your sense of self. Ties in with this psychologist. His name is Alfred Adler. Alfred Adler. And he says, in quote, "You should trust only movement. Life happens at the level of events, not words. Trust movement. Life happens at the level of events, not words. Trust movement." This is a Zen Proverbs. It goes along with this. It says, move and the way will open. So we'll end here. A lot of times what we're looking for is a perfect set of circumstances. Yes. Yeah, we have a vision and we have things that we want to achieve, but we're looking for the way to open up for us. And we're looking for a nice circumstantial benefit. We are waiting and waiting and waiting for the day to come when we can see clearly a path from A to B. But the problem is that life doesn't really work this way. And honestly, sometimes that would be a concern because it might be a trap. But what's more common is that you move and the way will open as you begin to move. Whether you believe in this or not, faith is the positive expectation of something that has not happened yet. And fear and anxiety typically is faith in the wrong direction. It is a belief that something negative will happen. And people are injecting their faith and their expectation into things that are not desirable. Where what you have to learn how to do, especially in seasons like now, This is macro, by the way. This isn't just me. I'm telling you, like, I know them all. Like, I'm friends with a lot of the people who are running these movements, and it's over and over and over and over again. The craziest stuff is coming up right now. There's a macro chaos. If you're intuitive, you sort of feel it. You may not know what it is, but you're just like, oh, it's feeling a little bit weird. There's a macro seasonal type of uncertainty that's hitting the population, like all the freaking globe. Mm-hmm. And the key to it is these things: contribution, movement, the ability to give and spend freely of yourself, and the ability to manage yourself and stop chasing certainty. Certainty is not one of those things that's going to enable you to do more. Certainty is only this, the byproduct of knowing who you are and what you're capable of. And so when you know who you are and what you're capable of, you create certainty in yourself to combat the uncertainty in the outside world.